Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode 288. We have a fun guest today. We have a fun show. A controversial one, I feel.
Yeah, I think this may be a little controversial for some, but for some it may be enjoyable.
Look, it's going to be lighthearted. If you guys are playing along at home, just remember, this is all in good fun, right? Yeah. We are going to do a Universal and Disney attraction face-off today.
Whose idea was this?
Not mine.
Welcome our special guest, G. This episode is brought to you by our friend and Patreon member, JB, who gave us the idea. And the list of attractions that we're going to go through have all been thoughtfully organized by our in-house UTM contributor, our special guest today, G.
Nice.
I just want to be sure I give her all the credit for the list here.
You got to give her the credit. Before we get into today's episode, we're giving away another t-shirt. If you want to win, go to unlockingthemagic.com/win for a chance to enter. And the more things you do on that list, you can tweet about it. You can share it on Facebook. You can send your friends a private message on Facebook as well. The more things you do, the more opportunities you get to win.
We got some cool designs. How many do we have so far?
38.
For real.
No, you got a lot. You got the Polly versus my heart says Polly, but my wallet says Pop. You got Snackles. You got Team Tonga. You got Here to Socialize. You got the monorail. There's so many. Go check it out.
Gianna, which one do you like the best?
The Polynesian one.
Mm. Awesome.
Yeah, that one is good. That one's a lot of people's favorites. Hits a lot of heartstrings on that one. You know, a lot of people's wallet says Pop, but their heart says Polly.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the majority of folks, including me.
Right. Always. All right. This episode, we're going to go through the attractions throughout Walt Disney World. There's a lot of attractions. This is probably going to be a two-parter because there actually are a lot of attractions that we haven't done in the park that I shall not name. No, I'm just kidding. It's Universal Studios and Universal Island of Adventure. So we're going to list a few.
Yeah.
I have like six here. I don't know how many we did. We did a lot.
In full transparency, I've only been to Universal once.
That is a good point that you've only been to. I've been a couple times. Back it up. There's nothing compared to Walt Disney World, right? But I did go to Universal as a kid, so I still have those like nostalgic memories.
Your parents took you there when you were a kid?
Yes.
Was it on the same trips that you went to Disney?
Yes.
So what did you think about the comparison back then?
I loved it. I thought Universal Studios was really like a movie studio. So I really, you know how much I love movies. I really had a lot of fun. Now as an adult, I see it with different eyes, but I still had fun.
Yeah.
Full disclosure. We had a good time. I do think it is a park geared for older kids, although they do have Seuss Land, which is adorable for younger kids.
I like that more than I thought I was going to.
That was immersive. What did you think, G, of Seuss Land?
I liked it.
Thought it was a good, lighthearted, just unique place. But overall, in general, I've got to say, Universal to me is a place for kids older than the age of, I would say, 9.
Yeah, I think if your kids are younger, there's not going to be as much to do versus older kids or teenagers.
Yeah, like I said, I think the vibe is different in Universal where it's like, it's not even the attraction height requirement. It's more about the atmosphere. I feel it appeals to the older crowd. Like I don't want to bring little kids there. I don't know.
I don't want to bring little kids there because we don't have little kids. So that'd be awkward. But even if we did have little kids, I wouldn't bring them there yet.
Anyway.
By the way, shout out to the Chip Davis fan club.
Chip Davis.
That's a little inside message there for Devlin. If you're listening to this, Devlin is the president of the Chip Davis fan club. And he's the president, vice president, and treasurer, actually.
I thought G was the VP.
What are you?
I don't know.
No, she's the secretary.
Yeah.
Secretary of the Chip Davis fan club. Inside family, inside thing there. Sorry for everybody else listening.
Yeah, okay. All right, the first one we are going to talk about. So again, this list was really thoughtfully created because we tried to compare two attractions head to head so they faced off equally in a lot of ways. Okay? Remember, guys, lighthearted fun, because some of these I'm going to list later on. I think we're going to shock a few folks, but we got to go. All right, here we go.
All right, let's do this. By the way, this is definitely going to be a two-parter because it's like 8 pages long.
Number one is Race Through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon, versus Star Tours, The Adventure Continues.
This is harder than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. When we first saw the Jimmy Fallon attraction, I was like, I don't want to go in there. That looks so silly. Mm-hmm. There's no way I want to go in there. But after going on that, I was like, wow, that was pretty fun. Maybe the key to Universal is low expectations. What do you think?
Maybe, yeah.
What do you think, G?
I don't know.
So in this one, you ride through New York City, and it's based on The Tonight Show featuring Jimmy Fallon. It definitely has that motion where you're going, and it's 3D, and you're flying all around. And then on Star Tours, of course, one of our favorites, you board the Star Speeder 1000 with CP3O on the controls, and it's both similar.
You mean C-3PO.
Whatever. It's been a long day here. Okay.
You sound like me reading off the sheet now.
This G thought these two would be great to compare because both of them seem like you're out of control when you're on the attractions.
100%. Mm-hmm. I'm always out of the control on all the attractions. All
right, so who's going to be the winner in this face-off here? Would you rather? I guess this is a would you rather show.
All right, this is a would you rather. Universal versus Jimmy Fallon versus Star Tours.
Star Tours.
I'm with G, Star Tours. Only here's the thing. I would have to go on Jimmy Fallon a couple more times to really give that the go-ahead.
You made G really nervous for a second.
You thought I was going to say Jimmy Fallon?
No, yeah.
I like Star Tours, but I think it could give it a run for its money. But I think Star Tours has an advantage as to that the show, the attraction is the same, right? But the show you see is different every time. Whereas maybe you go on Jimmy Fallon 5 times, and you're like, all right, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Okay, so my turn to choose. On the face-off, I'm going to say, you guys, I hope you're holding on to your chairs. I'm going to say Race Through New York starring Jimmy Fallon.
How? How can you say that?
I think mainly because I walked in not wanting to go, and I had so much fun racing through New York. Like, I felt like I was a celebrity on my own riding through the streets of the city, and it just made me feel really cool. And I got to say, Star Tours, like you said, is unique. You get a different experience every time. And I love Star Wars. So having that feeling of being able to board my own Star Speeder is so cool. But lately, I think I'm getting a little seasick when I'm there.
All right.
Motion sick.
Two for Star Wars, one for Jimmy Fallon. We win.
Yes, you lost.
Let's go. Next one.
Men in Black, Alien Attack versus Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the description real quick.
Great.
On both of these attractions to really, guys, get you immersed, okay? Men in Black. New York has been hit by an epidemic of aliens, and it's up to you, Agent Trainee, to blast them into oblivion. You'll need a good eye and a steady hand on your laser gun to zap those little suckers at just the right second. But be warned, if they zap back and if they hit your car, it'll spin out of control. Okay, Buzz Lightyear. Board your XP-37 Star Cruiser and voyage deep into the Gamma Quadrant, where you'll take aim at the glowing Z targets with your infrared laser cannon. Jetta's making fun of me here. Use your cruiser's joystick to spin a full 360 degrees so you can blast all the targets. Okay, this is a good one.
This is a good one. So what are you choosing?
I would prefer to go last.
All right.
I don't think people are going to like my answer.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
I think I'm going to do Buzz Lightyear.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You do a really good job on Buzz Lightyear, though, targeting mm-hmm. those Z targets.
I don't know. I feel like every time you get off Buzz Lightyear, you're a little...
Depends.
Unhappy.
Because she's so competitive.
Yeah, she wants to win every single time.
She does a really good job, though.
She does.
If there was a competitive sport with like an official... competitive sport and Buzz Lightyear, I think she'd be at the top.
I think you're right about that.
Probably.
I'm choosing Men in Black.
Whoa.
Curveball. And here's the thing. I think I'm choosing Men in Black because the queue in Men in Black is much better than the queue in Buzz Lightyear in Disney World for that.
I think you're right on that one. I think, again, low expectations in Men in Black, but also the fact that you don't know when, like, your car is going to spin out of control, that element of surprise.
Yeah.
And it's really large inside, so when you go in there, it's...
There's so much to see and look at, too, when you're in there versus in Buzz Lightyear. It's very close together. That, I have to say, I had very low expectations for pretty much every attraction at Universal. So yeah. I feel like all of mine are a little bit skewed because I expected it to be terrible.
Right. I guess that's a good point.
So, but this one I'm not. Okay. I remember this one very well, and I'm choosing Men in Black.
I'm going to choose Men in Black 2. I can't believe it. You know, you can't... Look, the thing about Men in Black, it's Will Smith in a suit. You know, you kind of already get me there. And then Aliens. I love Aliens.
Well, Buzz is in a suit too.
I know. Yeah. I know. But, you know, I'm my opinion swayed here a little bit because I really love that movie. So being immersed in that movie was super fun.
All right. Well, let's go to the next one then.
All right. Next
Face
one.
Face Off. Round three.
Another really hard one. Harry Potter and the Escape of the Gringotts versus Rise of the Resistance.
They're going to have to refresh my memory. Which attraction in Harry Potter is this one?
This one is in the bank where you go down below in the bank vault. The one where you hurt your knees.
Oh, okay. So this is the one where they squish you in.
It's the one with the cart as like, not the one where you just sit in a room.
And we're versing this Face Off against who?
It's kind of unfair, actually, now that I think of it. It's Rise of the Resistance, which nothing compares to Rise of the Resistance. But the reason why...
I don't think that's unfair. I think that's pretty close.
Well, yeah.
I think it's one of... I thought it was one of... Universal's top attractions. So
I do too. I think, I love
Rise. I thought of it.
I love Rise of the Resistance, and we talk about that about being how that's an amazing attraction. And I think this is a tough choice.
Enter Gringotts Bank beneath the massive fire breathing dragon at the far end of Diagon Alley. Get ready to take a journey through the passageways that lead up deep underground as you climb aboard this mind blowing, multi dimensional thrill ride.
Again, I have not mine. Very familiar with Harry Potter at all. So, again, low expectations on this attraction. But I love Star Wars, and this is even harder for me.
This one, you have to wear goggles. So, with Harry Potter, The Escape of the Gringotts, you have to wear these special goggles that they give you. The kind of the boarding process is kind of annoying because you have to put your stuff away. You have to get your goggles. Like, there's a lot more to think about.
You do get to, take pictures, and there's, a good queue, Star Tours. Rise of the Resistance.
She says a good point.
That's true. The locker situation at Universal before every attraction is very annoying.
Yes. Right. Okay. And then for Rise of the Resistance, again, one of the most incredible attractions I think yet Disney has built. The Resistance needs your help. Hidden in the forest, outside Black Spire Outpost, the Resistance is gathering recruits for a secret mission. Gianna, I read a lot on this podcast. I don't think she realizes that. But anyway, with the First Order desperate to extinguish the spark of the Resistance, the mission is bound to have unexpected twists and turns.
What are you saying, G? You said you had yours ready?
No, not anymore.
Oh, just mom read the description and changed your mind?
Well, no, because when I was thinking...
Talking to that microphone, lady.
I'm sorry. And I was thinking about it, I realized that for Rise of the Resistance, you have to get up. Pass in order to get in.
Right.
Whereas the Harry Potter one, you just have to wait in the long line, but I still don't know. Because either way, you still have to wait.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is a tough one, even for me.
You might not even get in this Rise of the Resistance.
And you're not really, I would say, out of the three kids, you're the one that didn't really love Harry Potter. So the fact that you're
talking to me?
I'm talking to G.
Oh.
G, you didn't really love Harry Potter movies or books, so... This is interesting, I feel. Even though you didn't love the movies that much, you still think that this attraction is a good face-off with mm-hmm. Rise of the Resistance?
This is probably one of the ones you have listed on here, of all of the ones, mm-hmm. that you can't go wrong either way.
Well, of course.
You choose Harry Potter, you're fine. You choose Rise of the Resistance, you're going to be great.
Right.
I don't think there's a wrong answer here. Whereas the two previous was like, you know what? I felt like, at least for me, one was better than the other.
Excellent.
Clearly.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm choosing Rise of the Resistance.
I was just
going
to say.
I'm going first since nobody else wants to go.
I think we're all going to.
I'm choosing Harry Potter.
Wow. I don't believe it.
Shocker. I'm not that shocked. Harry Potter is a little bit more action-based.
I like Harry Potter.
I think there's more action and thrillingness in the Harry Potter attraction than there is in the Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
One.
You think?
The Rise of the Resistance one is the show. It's immersive, right? So it's from the beginning to the end. And it's all the senses are being... bombarded with things in Rise of the Resistance. The Harry Potter one's just intense.
Yeah.
But I like how the Rise, you really feel like you're helping. Like you're part of this incredible mission. And it's the pre-story, like you said, from the beginning all the way to the fun, I think, attraction.
I mean, I don't know how much I was helping. I was just kind of like sitting, standing in awe.
That's true.
They're sitting in awe. Yeah, wasn't helping that much.
That doesn't really help. Yeah.
I wasn't feeling like I was helping whatsoever.
I'm choosing Rise. I am shocked that Gianna actually chose Harry Potter, but I'm proud that you were able to give your true statement here on the show today.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay, next one is, a very, very sweet, I feel, head-to-head one. E.T. Adventure versus Peter Pan's Flight. So both of these you're flying, one on a bike and the other on pirate ship.
Can you repeat the question?
E.T. needs your help.
Oh.
His planet, his home planet is dying and only you can help save it. Board your flying bike with E.T. in the front basket and take off on a thrilling but gentle ride through the sky. You'll have to dodge bad guys trying to track him down. If you do, you'll soar above the city and into the stars where his magical home awaits.
And this is versus Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, this is... the hosts really weren't listening.
I wasn't. Sorry. Somebody messaged me.
This is versus Peter Pan's Flight.
Oh, E.T.
Oh, what?
Me too.
What?
Yeah. Peter Pan's Flight.
I didn't even get to describe Peter Pan's
Flight. You don't even have to.
Wave goodbye to Nana and join the darling children on a gentle cruise over London, where Big Ben and Tower Bridge light up the night sky. Descend into Neverland between the glowing volcanoes and sparkling waterfalls as you swoop into Pirate's Cove.
These are great, G. You did these?
Yeah,
pretty good. These are good, like, comparisons. I like them. I'm choosing E.T. partly from my childhood, from watching E.T., partly because you get to ride a bike.
I mean, that is cool.
And you're floating in the air, kind of similar to Peter Pan. And then thirdly, because I can get on E.T., I can't get on Peter Pan unless I wait an hour and a half.
That's true.
What did you choose? You choose E.T.?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, I'm shocked. I really am.
What did you choose?
This one was hard for me. I have a really hard time with these. Both of them I feel like are classics, but I can't say no to Peter Pan. I'm sorry, I can't. Just feel like I'm truly turning my back here on Disney, and I can't join the dark side.
Well, I said Rise. That's true. Let's go to the next one.
Although I've got to admit, these are both incredible. Like, I really loved E.T. a lot.
E.T., you're going to go on there, and if you're expecting like a thrilling, up-to-date attraction, you're going to be sad.
Right.
You need to expect it to be like the movie made in the 80s.
It was just a very sweet, I like how they say it, a gentle ride.
Yeah, you ride on a bike, you're floating through the forest. It just really reminds you of the movie, especially if you're our age and you saw that movie as a kid.
Yeah.
You're going to love that one.
You know, it's difficult, but I have to stay with the classic on that one particular. Okay, next one. Really good. Revenge of the Mummy versus the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
All right, now this one's very easy for me.
Me too.
Both of these begin slow, but have a creepy story. Both of them are thrilling in different ways, but they definitely are thrilling. I like how Revenge of the Mummy describes, in the first line it says, "People may tell you it's not a scary coaster. It's an indoor ride. These people are not your friends. They are tricksters who want to hear you scream."
So those people and the people who don't like Tonga Toast, they're not your friends.
Right. That's exactly true.
Remember that.
This is another one that is like the boarding process, again, a little difficult in the sense of you got to put all your stuff in the locker, you know, you got to make your way, whatever.
Yeah, that's quite not fun.
It's not. It brings you down a level where it's like, oh, I can't wait to go on this. Oh, wait, I got to put my stuff away. It's like
20 minute wait time. Oh, I got to go put my stuff in a locker and wait and find a locker, take my backpack off, stick it in the lock, get my coupon code.
This is definitely a thrilling attraction. The story is super creepy. So it says, "Digging your nails into the safety rail, you'll hold on tight as you thrash forwards back on the track, fleeing from the evil mummy. He'll throw everything he's got at you, insects, war mummies, and fire. So intense, you'll feel the heat." I like that first of all, I really love anything to do with mummies and Egypt and all that. So I was already sold when I saw the sign for this attraction. I was really excited. I didn't remember anything like this when I was a kid. It must be newer. So I was really just taken away. And then with Tower of Terror, of course. I mean, come on.
You don't need to read the description for that one.
Enter the rickety
elevator
style lift. Strap yourself in pair to discover what lies beyond the darkest corner of your imagination. Shriek in terror as you suddenly propel up and down the abandoned shaft.
All right, which one are you choosing?
Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror.
She loves this one.
I second that.
I...
You cannot choose. If you choose The Mummy, the podcast is over and you're off the show.
I will steal your place.
I have a replacement, I guess. I choose The Twilight Zone. Oh, Tower great.
I got nervous there that I was going to have a new co-host.
I've got to say, though, Revenge of the Mummy is probably one of the attractions in Universal that I'm so excited to try again.
I don't remember it that much. What? I know we've been on it multiple times, but I don't remember the attraction itself or like the queue.
It's like a roller coaster pretty much. And you're in, reminds me of Indiana Jones.
I remember that part of it, but I don't remember the queue or I don't remember the storyline as much as I do Tower of Terror.
Well, I just read you the storyline.
Listen, don't you know me by now? When you start reading, I tune out.
Okay. All right, so
I check my emails, I check my phone, texts.
Are we a unanimous vote on this one?
We are.
Based off, and we have chosen the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
That's the first one we've all decided together,
This is
right?
a UTM FA.
Yes. What's that?
Unlocking the Magic Face-Off.
All right.
FA. F-O, rather. Sorry.
Face-Off. F-O. Okay. Next one. Skull Island Reign of King Kong versus Dinosaur. I don't think anyone is going to be surprised on my answer on this. Skull Island Reign of King Kong is basically you ride on a van.
Yeah.
And it's 4D and you go through this hillside and adventure down a journey and you see, of course, the King Kong.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going
to Your read. Favorite, right?
My favorite, right? And then Dinosaur, you race against time because you are trying to save the Earth because there's a giant meteor that wiped off life on Earth is on its way. You board a rugged Time Rover vehicle.
Now, can we stop doing the descriptions of all of them?
I actually didn't read that. I was...
Oh, that was your memory?
Yeah, it was.
That was amazing. Good memory.
Thank you.
Good job.
You're welcome.
I'm choosing Dinosaur.
Me too.
Dinosaur.
All right. That's an easy one. I feel like that's pretty easy.
I liked King Kong a lot. I thought it was really fun. It was scary for me because I am terrified of all things King Kong. But the one thing I would say I didn't love about it was I felt a little confined in the vehicle and I was just waiting for something else when we were going.
You're waiting for someone to come out and jump out in a gorilla suit?
I just wanted it to be over, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I was done. You can't compete with Dinosaur.
Okay, the next one, The Incredible Hulk versus Rockin' Roller Coaster.
Wow, this is a really tough one.
I made it.
I know you did.
That's why it's tough.
Oh, all right.
So for The Incredible Hulk, it's a super fast attraction. It starts from the very beginning where you are on a weightless, zero gravity. I mean, it's crazy intense on that attraction. When you see it from the ground, it gets a little nerve-wracking, I think.
I mean, it shoots you off.
You're a brave volunteer to test subject, potentially life-altering science experiment on Dr. Bruce Banner's research. You know, one thing I have to say on this attraction in Universal is that I don't feel the story at all.
No, there is no real story. There's no cue. There's no real story. This is one of those roller coasters that it's a great roller coaster.
Yeah.
But it makes it feel almost like you're at a regular amusement park.
Right. Even though they try with their description to say that you are, going through the test subject, you're with Dr. Banner. I don't feel that at all.
No. Mm-hmm.
But it's still a really fun attraction. We have a fun story with our nephew who was, I think, terrified. He'll never go back on again.
Mm-mm. That being said.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he'll ever go back on again. No. After remembering his experience on this.
He did not like it.
I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster does have a good cue, I guess. And they do have a good, when you
guess. It has a great cue.
It's okay.
It's with Aerosmith.
It's great once you get inside the building.
I love it. I love the story of Rock and Roller Coaster. I like how it's a thrilling attraction, but it makes you feel like you're part of something from the beginning, which is what I think sets Disney apart.
Yeah, I agree.
So which one are we choosing?
I think Rock and Roller Coaster.
I'm going to choose Rock and Roller Coaster.
I'm choosing the Hulk.
Of course you are.
Hulk, the Hulk coaster. I'm choosing that one. It's amazing. It just shoots you out. You go so fast.
It is pretty fun.
But the thing is, it's one of those attractions where you can't even keep your eyes open. It's so intense.
I kept my eyes open pretty well.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, you're
I don't like the confinement. I didn't feel as confined. I like the Hulk because it has the same harness, but it's outside. So I don't feel as confined as I do in the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Got it. Okay. I'm still choosing Rock and Roller Coaster because there's nothing better than going through and the donut when you go through upside down.
I really like the queue, where you walk in.
Makes you want to come out and get a donut.
Next one, Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket, another really thrilling attraction, versus Expedition Everest.
Which I don't remember the rocket. Which one is that?
So the rocket is the other intense roller coaster, and you get to choose your own music.
Oh, that's right.
So this one was challenging because at first I thought we should compare that to Rock and Roller Coaster, but then G said it's a good one to compare to Everest because neither one of them go upside down, but they both kind of trick you.
Yep.
So Hollywood Rip Ride makes you think you're going to go upside down, but it never does. And then Expedition Everest, you know how you go backwards, yes. And then there's a track that's missing. So another trickster kind of attraction.
These are good face-offs.
Yeah. But again, Hollywood Rip Ride, the cool thing is you get to pick your music before you go on the attraction.
Except they don't have great selections.
Except for that. Mm. They do take your video.
They do, which is kind of embarrassing if you're not a good roller coaster rider.
How funny is the video we have of our nephew, and he's on there. He's having a fun time. They're getting ready to shoot him off. He's like,
Wasn't that on the Hulk?
No, it wasn't.
No.
This was the Rip Ride, and he had his arms up, and all of a sudden you see him trying to struggle to find where to put to hold on to. Best video ever. Wow. If you guys want to see it on Patreon, let me know. I'll share it in there with his permission.
You have the video?
I have the video.
She does.
Wow, send that to me. I want to see that. I remember dying laughing
it
watching
was
the replay.
So funny.
I conveniently left out my video. I deleted that one of my own.
I don't think mine was that bad. Was yours that bad, G?
I think we were together.
Yeah, I think we were fine.
Yeah.
I remember Devlin like panicking. He had his buckle on. And that's funny to look back on now.
Yeah.
But that feeling of panic must have been real.
There's nothing to hold on to, really.
No.
I mean, it's just like a strap around you. It's not like a harness.
Right.
Oh, thinking back
Everest,
of it, was so funny.
Like, that's why.
Right.
That's so amazing.
But again, nothing to really immerse you in a story. Whereas Everest, I mean, you're basically in the story from the moment you get to the queue all the way through with the growling Yeti and...
I may say I have two answers on this one.
Mm. Oh, okay. I'm ready to hear it.
All right. Number one, Everest, if I'm with you guys.
Okay.
If Devlin's with me, I'm going on the other one.
Yeah, same.
He's the only one that makes it fun.
He's the president of the Chip Davis fan club and the best roller coaster partner in the world.
I agree 100%. But hands down, Everest.
Yes.
Without a doubt. I think it blends the uniqueness of the story and the intense drop. I still get goosebumps every time I go backwards.
It's got a great cue, too.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it just, you can't beat it, right?
Yeah, all around.
That's the thing I love about Disney is that the storytelling from the get-go makes you feel like you've really traveled to Everest. You know, it makes you really feel like you're part of something different. And then you go through the attraction, you have fun, and then you go on to the next or whatever.
But I love it.
So fun. So I'm choosing Everest. G?
Everest.
Everest.
Me, Everest.
Everest. Unless we have to do a...
Unless Devlin's with me. Then I'm going on the other one just because it's got a camera on it and it's going to be funnier.
I still like Everest.
Okay. We have two more left. One has to do with an overall land, which I feel people might need to go take a drink, take a step away, get a snack because this one's going to be controversial no matter what.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then the last one will end it up with a comparison of drinks.
Okay. I think these last two are going to shock some folks.
Okay. Here we go. Face Off, Universal versus Disney. We're going to start with The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Diagon Alley versus Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Ooh, this is challenging. Both are incredible, of course. You know, even if you're not a fan of Harry Potter, that Wizarding World is incredibly immersive. I think the one thing Universal did right is this land. You can tell from the moment you arrive that you have been transported. I personally love wizards, so I didn't even have to know Harry Potter and love this.
She loves wizards.
I love wizards. I love wizards. Actually, one of my favorite Disney Channel shows is Wizards of Waverly Place. That's always been it. And then Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, of course. I mean, come on. You're going to Batuu. I mean, it's just really incredible to see the Millennium Falcon and all that. I mean,
I feel like this is the land version of My Heart Says Polly, but My Wallet Says Pop.
This is a tough one. I'm not going to try to deny it. And I feel like people are shocked that I'm even putting the two together because they are, you know, it's Disney and Universal after all, right?
Now, do you take into consideration the attractions that are there as well?
You have to take it in. Oh, that's a good question. I think overall land, no attraction. So if you could just walk through and not go through any attractions, which one do you feel would be the winner on your opinion?
All right, G, you go first.
Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
All right, Connie?
Do you want to elaborate on YG before I answer?
Because there's a lot of interactions with characters there. Oh. And, like, the stormtroopers are there, and there's a lot of fun stuff there.
That's true. I didn't think about that. I usually try to avoid those character interactions.
That was a negative in Dad's mind.
Yeah.
But a very good point. I think Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at night is incredible. I think that's where it makes it even more hard for me to choose. But, oh, this is hard. I think I really like the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I need a break. Hold on.
All right.
Time out.
I'll fill in for you for a second here.
I think my blood sugar might be low. I think I'm not choosing correctly.
I'll fill in for you while you get a break, while you take a second, take a step back and try to gather yourself. I am choosing Harry Potter with you.
What?
Yes. I love Galaxy's Edge, but here's the thing. I think they did a fantastic job of separating Harry Potter's... Is it Harry Potter Land?
It's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Diagon Alley.
Harry Potter Land. They did a great job of separating that from the rest of Universal.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't do a great job of separating Galaxy's Edge, but you can kind of see it as you're walking from one part to the other. And I have to say, when I walked through that little alleyway to get into the Harry Potter Land, I was blown away by the transformation that they had there.
Do you feel like it's because your low expectations of Universal in general that
yes, I do.
Because, you know, with Disney, you have this level of expectations, and I feel like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge meets those expectations.
I don't think it meets my expectations of what I thought it was going to be. I thought it does meet them, right? But I feel like Disney has built its reputation on exceeding people's expectations. I think Galaxy's Edge was what I expected Galaxy's Edge to be.
But here's the thing. We have high expectations.
Like, so does Disney, though. Disney has high standards.
Okay.
And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
And I just had low standards or expectations from Universal, and I thought they did a great job of making me feel like, even though I've never read a book or really watched a movie, I've watched parts of movies, I felt like I was there.
I feel like you dislike Harry Potter a lot. So the fact that you're choosing this over right now, I really feel like there's something going on.
Right. I don't know. There is something going on.
What is happening? I think this cool quarantine has made us a little nutty.
Maybe it's because of the fact that you can't get on Rise of the Resistance every time you want to go on there. You have to get a boarding
pass. But Rise of the Resistance isn't the whole land.
But it's a big part of why you go there.
But we're not talking about that.
Well, that's part of the land, though.
Ooh, I like her.
But we're not talking about attractions.
Well, yeah. That's part of the land, which is what we're choosing.
See, he makes up his own rules. Like, no matter how many times I give the rules out or try to describe, Dad always changes it around.
Listen, I'm pretty sure I'm the co-host. I can change my mind if I want.
I'm pretty sure he's muting us
pretty
right
sure
now.
Pretty sure it's true.
Blocked.
Speaking of blocked, how many people have blocked us right now?
Oh, they've deleted the app.
Okay. You guys, I'm so sorry. All right. Whew. Okay, next one.
That was a tough one. That was tough. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that could have went either way as well. And I think that either one you're going to choose, you're going to be happy with your selection.
I feel like it's your mood, too. Like, are you in the mood to be in this fantasy world with wizards and witches and all this different things? Like, you don't get that in Disney at all.
Right.
You know? So it depends on our moods, I think, that can... Like, today, I'm getting closer to Halloween. I'm in the mood for wizards.
Well, here's an example. Okay. I don't like... Not that I don't like Harry Potter, but I'm not into Harry Potter.
Right.
But I still enjoyed myself in that land.
Yeah. It was tight, though.
It was small.
It was really small.
You know, now I'm kind of breaking
it
down.
But it was very immersive. Even the stores and shops were very immersive. If you weren't into Star Wars, would you enjoy Star Wars Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, probably so.
Huh. That's a great question.
So, there you go.
We're going to leave it at that.
All right, next one.
This is the last one.
Okay.
This is a face-off on drinks. This is butter beer at Universal versus blue milk in Disney World, which blue milk is at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We've had both. They're different, both unique. Both are must tries at least once. They may not be something you have to have every time you visit, but I think both of them adds another layer of your trip where you get immersed in the storytelling of where you are. So this one's challenging. Butterbeer is like a caramelly flavor,
yes,
I guess. And blue milk was a lot more fruity than I imagined.
It was very fruity. And it was very cold when we drank it, so I don't know if that sways my decision at all, but it was kind of fruity. I don't remember loving either one of them.
They're both on the same... Here's the thing. They're both unique.
Yes.
Right?
It's one of those things that when you go to the land, it's something you have to try. Right. Even if it's just once to say you've tried it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of mixed feelings. Again, I feel like I have a picture of our nephew. He did not like Butterbeer at all.
No.
Was it the fact that we kind of shared a couple, which is, to me, not the best way to have something?
Probably. Because
they are pricey.
Probably disgusting. Yeah, probably you don't want to do that. No, it was definitely the, I think, I don't know what he was expecting. Like more of a soda, but it was very caramel.
I think he did.
He did?
Yeah. No, I think he expected something else.
Oh, and then his face set it off. I got a picture of it.
All right, let's wrap this up. Which one are you choosing?
I'm going to go ahead and choose blue milk.
G?
Yeah, me too.
I'm with you. Three blue milks. Butterbeer was good. I like the blue milk a little bit better.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we did this face off today. Hope you guys still have respect for us here at Unlocking the Magic. But it was an episode that we had to do, and I was extremely looking forward to comparing the attractions.
So there's no Unlocking the Magic Universal Edition podcast coming up anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. Maybe in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. I've only been once, so I think I need to go a few more times. G, thanks for joining us on the episode.
You're welcome.
Good job on the show notes.
Yeah, thank you for doing these amazing comparisons here and making us, you know, basically gave us a challenge today.
I actually like that face-off. I think that we should do more of those Universal versus Disney. Maybe not a lot, but maybe one more.
Okay.
Did you enjoy that?
I think we should try Universal one more time before we try it.
We should do water parks. Universal water park versus Disney water parks.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay. Anyway, go unlockingthemagic.com/win. You can win your chance for a free t-shirt this week of your choice. You can pick at the Poly versus Pop or Team Tonga or Team Talks over on the website.
Perfect.
Also, don't forget, join us in Patreon. It's $5. You can join us inside of that. You get extra podcast episodes. We actually just did a Zoom call the other day, and that was fun. So if you want to join that Patreon, go to unlockingthemagic.com.
Okay. That was a lot of fun. I can't believe you went on Zoom.
I know. They made me. You made me go on.
I did. Yeah. It was fun, though.
All right. Also, follow us on Instagram, Unlocking the Magic Podcast, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.